You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Off the back of the release of their brand new album, I'm chatting to Michael from Hardly Unclear. How you doing?
Kia ora, I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic and absolutely stoked that a brand new Hardly Unclear album is in our grubby little hands now. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's like a relief to have it out, really. I like how we're calling it a brand new album, although it does, our New Zealand family will recognise a bunch of the songs on there from previous albums that have gone missing. So half of them were recognisable and half of them will be a bit newer.
Yeah, awesome. And I feel like last time we chatted was for the release of Fish, which has been absolutely ripping through the Radio 1 playlists, and releasing a whole album. That's pretty exciting. That's a massive, massive milestone. It was released on the 19th, so just a few days ago. How has the reception of the album been worldwide now?
Yeah, it's been good, you know. Like, I guess the reason that we, you know, the reason that there are older songs on there is because our label kind of has, our label's based in Paris, and they were packaging it up for a European release, and so, which is why we're here in Paris now. But yeah, so that's been, it's very exciting, is to play the record to French audiences, to I'm over here doing media with French media at the moment, and to have them interested in it is all very exciting. So it's really good that these songs are having a second life for us, you know, in another part of the world, and you know that we get to maybe even share it with audiences in New Zealand that maybe have missed it the first time around, or get to re-enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, that's the one. Absolute rookies missing it the first time around, though. Big mistake. Now, exactly like you said there, Hardly Unclear have just moved to Paris, which is a huge deal. When did you just sign to the Paris label?
We actually signed to them back in 2019, and so this was all planned to have happened in 2020. But of course we had a global pandemic and all of that stuff kept getting kicked down the road, and we had like smaller releases in the meantime anyway, but this actual album, which is what kind of, I guess this is, the albums are what kind of media really care about and pay attention to, has been kind of delayed until now, until we could take stock and organise ourselves to come back. So we're here for 3 weeks, really, to promote the record, and then we'll be back to NZ.
So sick. I imagine it must be so cool being overseas, because obviously within Aotearoa, especially here in Dunedin, you guys are local legends. What's it like being overseas and knowing that other people know your music over there?
Oh, it's kind of difficult to it's kind of abstract, you know, like we played a really wicked show at a venue called Supersonic to support the album release with two other bands, and the audience there was singing along, and we just had no idea that we were really nervous about how the gig was going to go, because we had no idea how if there was going to be anybody there, and B, if they're going to be, they were going to care. But it was really awesome. They're like, some people come from Copenhagen to see us, and so we're just hoping that, you know, playing the shows here now, we can build a platform to come back and do a lot more.
Yay! I think that's one of the most beautiful things about Kiwis, though, is, like, in contrast, sometimes when UK artists come over here, they're like, you know, coming in with like big boots, high brows, whereas Kiwis, like, they know that they have so many people listening to their music overseas, but every time they'll be like, oh, I don't know if anyone's going to show up or not. Oh, my gosh.
I know. And you know, and it's so hard for New Zealanders to get out of New Zealand because they're so far away, you know. Mm. Like, we flew to Shanghai for 12 hours, and then we flew another 12 hours to Paris, and it's just like, and then, you know, we play with a band from the UK here, and they're just, it's just really comparatively so easy for, you know, artists within this continent to tour, but for us to leave New Zealand is extremely difficult. Comparatively, you know, so we don't take it for granted at all. We're like,
we're stoked.
Thank you. Yeah.
100%. Now, the new album, it is called A Kingdom in a Cul-de-Sac. And one of the most striking things that I noticed about the album's launch was the difference in the aesthetic and the visuals of this album. It's very fun, it's very playful, it's very like spring, summery. Was that an intentional like move from your previous creative looks?
Yeah, that was, you know, we... With this album cover, we did, you know, the we don't know what the French, you know, what the French market is, you know, what the French market, what French audience is kind of, I hate myself saying that, what, you know, what, we don't know. And so the label helped lead that in terms of that aesthetic. We kind of like, you know, we gave feedback around, well, actually, can we put some sedge in? Can we put some New Zealand sedge in there? can we have a uru in there? You know, we wanted to kind of make it more relevant to where we're from a bit. There's a lot, you know, there's New York City Taxi in there, and which is fine. And you know, it is artwork that I really like, and I keep finding new things in. But you know, it was a collaborative. Was a collaborative effort with the label for you know, how they helped us to put the package together for France.
It's pretty exciting, though. I think that a lot of people don't recognise how important the packaging of your art is. I think we see it a lot with books, you know, the old, like, don't judge a book by its cover. But I think with music, that's also super-duper prevalent. Like, if somebody is going through a record store or going through Bandcamp, you're probably going to click on the album with the album art that looks like it's going to sound like what you're looking for. That made no sense, but you know what I mean.
No, exactly what you mean, because, you know, like, sometimes, well, my favourite book is, you know, I really do identify the cover with my, like, fond memory of that book, you know. I agree completely that, like, having that thing in your hands or you know, on the... if I'm on Goodreads and I'm going to, like, save the book, I choose the book with the best-looking cover, you know, the version with the best-looking... edition with the best-looking cover. It makes complete sense to me.
And I think no matter how deep you get in your, like, creative journey, whether that's with music or books or art or blah, 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 we all just have that primal sense to gravitate toward things that look pretty. We can't help it.
Totally. We want shiny things to build our nest with, you know.
Yeah. We're suckers, absolute suckers for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, one of the tracks here on the album, it is called Alchemy. Tell us a little bit about the creation of Alchemy.
Yeah, this lyric I'd had lying around for a while, and then, you know, I just got thinking about how, you know, we describe things... with these abstract terms, like love is just not like a real word, or is not as real as, not as, it's just abstract, and it's different for everybody. One person that says they love something, might, that feeling or whatever that is, that assemblage of things that makes up that word for them, will be different from another person's. And so the song's kind of around, you know, if if that word doesn't fit for somebody, that, you know, making your own one up is fine. Like, so alchemy became like a replacement word for love that didn't feel like it fit the traditional expectation for what love is, you know. So in the song, these two people are calling it, making their own version of what love is, which is for them is alchemy. So that's kind of the gist of that.
Oh, stunning. I'm going to give our lovely listeners here at Radio 1 a cheeky listen of the track, but first, give us the who, what, when, where, why, how. Where can people buy the brand new album? Where can they stream it? Where can they keep up with Harley on Clear?
Yeah, it's out on double LP, so there's I think Flying Out have them, and we're going to bring some back over with us from Paris when we come home. So we'll have physical. We're going to come on tour in June, July. So Dunedin date, we'll keep your eyes out for that, because we'll post that and we'll bring some vinyl with us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's on all the streaming stuff, all the usual streaming stuff.
Oh, gorgeous.
Not naming names.
Not naming names. That's like the slipperiest slope, eh? You'll be like, oh, Spotify, Bandcamp, and we'll be like, YouTube, I could go on for hours.
Yeah, see you in 10 minutes.
Legend. Hey, thank you so much for your time this morning. Have the best time over in Paris. We miss you, and we can't wait to see you back.
Thank you, Candace. Really appreciate your time.
Legend. That was the Man Myth and Don Michael from Harley Unclear. This is one of their new tracks off of their new album, Alchemy. Keep it locked here on the one.
Like the first time you came, our perfect enemy, the evil droplet shower just quietly. You whispered that was alchemy. Your dark dreams were shearing councils and paving caves and marble mountain just quietly. Something felt like alchemy. You told me that you
That was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.